In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
We had an interesting coincidence, a divine coincidence in scheduling today. It just so happens that when we scheduled this baptism, that I forgot and then eventually was notified by our archdiocese that today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, the Sunday dedicated to prayer and a reminder about the practice of abortion within our culture. And we take this such a beautiful child and baptize him. And I've gone through many times the understanding that when he would go into the font, he would die with Christ. And this kid really felt it, I think. the force is strong with this one. He was kicking the bottom. So in seminary, they taught me certain tricks where I think I'm supposed to undercut his knees or something. But in the panic of the moment, I forgot. And so I'm sure it worked either way. But he died and then he rose with Christ, that he would put on Christ, and that the rest of his life would be hopefully surrounded with Christ as the center of his very existence, that would lead to transformation and grace. And that ultimately, you know, his value today as one who has joined this covenanted community, because when you're baptized, you join into the New Testament covenant, that he has full personhood and the full amount of benefits that any adult convert would have as they enter into the faith. It's just that he hasn't grown up yet. Now, think about it in the early church. Babies have always been born, unexpected, expected. And in the early church, in the Roman Empire, you might take a young child like this, and the father, who's the authority of the household, might look at him and say, "I think he's a little ugly. I think I'll go leave him on the hill." And they had this practice of leaving their children out to die of exposure. Maybe he was physically ugly. Maybe he also was, as we say today, mentally handicapped or had a unique condition in the womb. So in the early church encountered people who killed their children by exposure to the elements. Now we have modern science, so most people don't simply leave their kids out in the elements anymore. So we might assume that if we were to go back in history, that the medical procedures that we have nowadays weren't there. But in the early church, St. Basil and others mentioned that there were many who took herbs and various concoctions to help them to remove the fetus, the unborn child from their womb. We also know that there were various procedures that were done, of course, primitive to what we do, but nonetheless to the same effect. And in the early church, it was taught that simply that this is sin. It didn't matter. St. Basil actually specifically says, stop all your squabbling about whether it's fully formed or unformed. It's a baby. And that's what the church has continued to teach for these 2,000 years. And the church and Christianity, to a large extent, has given women and children personhood. Personhood in our culture we might associate now with the right to vote, the right to the various freedoms of the Constitution. But it was unique in Jesus' time. It was one of the unique features of Christianity that human beings, that women and not just men, and then furthermore children, be considered of some value, inherent value, that they were made in the image and likeness of God, that they were created, and even though we live in a falling universe, that their value was absolutely inherent. Now, a few weeks ago, I mentioned that sin, and this also comes from Metropolitan Anthony Bloom, who once said that every sin requires a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Our culture has a lot of issues. You may know this. In order to support our lifestyles, why do we believe, culturally speaking, not from the Christian faith, but why is it that we believe the way we do about abortion nowadays? Why is it that statistically, I believe, if the country were to hold a vote on it, it would pass. It would be no problem. Excellent. We want women to have the right to choose. Why is that? Well, number one, we don't necessarily believe in the personhood of children anymore, especially in the womb. But secondarily, we have higher priorities. The priorities, the things that we have prioritized, are things like success, things like convenience. We have also this idea that somehow it is innately sinful and devastating to be poor, and that poverty is in and of itself bad. That actually isn't a historical belief of the whole world. Poverty wasn't always bad. We always wanted to lift people out of poverty, but just because you're poor didn't mean you couldn't be holy, and it didn't mean you didn't have value. So on these altars, the altar of getting people out of poverty, the altar of a lack of self-control, because unfortunately it's not all that common for people to be serial abortionists nowadays, to have multiple. And actually, people I know who have, and not Christian and who don't care about what I think about it, but I knew people who were in their five, their six, their seventh time, because apparently they didn't know what would happen when they were, you know, doing their thing. It's become that way. And it's become ultimately, we've seen in lately with politics, that we're returning to paganism, a place where you can just about leave your kid out in exposure because the personhood of the child isn't there even after it leaves the womb, and it's completely subjective. It's subjective in that it's all about what the mother desires. It has nothing to do with the father's desires. It has nothing to do with the innate value of life. So those altars, those are where these child sacrifices are made. 56 million a year around the world. Our country's leading it, Russia's leading it, Greece is leading it. And as Orthodox Christians, and meant to be the salt of the earth and meant to be the gospel, it's my duty to teach you that we believe it's a sin, and that we believe that those people who have committed the sin of murdering their children can certainly be forgiven by God if they repent, but that ultimately, culturally, it's something that we need to do our best to change the laws of the land. That means voting with a Christian conscience. That means advocating for things like adoption. That means being more supportive to mothers who don't have fathers. That means encouraging people to get married instead of simply shacking up, as our culture has moved on to. That means and falls within the whole package of the basic Christian teachings of what we thought society used to be normal within society, what was classic. What a contrast. What a contrast. And to be in the presence of such a beautiful child, to watch this child and this one over here and all these children grow up, to become all that they can be, not only in Christ, but also how they affect the world. 56 million children didn't get that chance because of the sacrifices people made sometimes gleefully and joyfully, multiple times. May we pray for their souls. May we pray for the souls of the nation. And when the judgment comes, because there is no way that the judgment won't come, it already has affected us. I'm not talking about God throwing thunderbolts. I'm talking about the natural consequences of the sickness of sacrificing children on the altar of convenience or whatever the various excuses may be. When the judgment comes, let's just simply cow down. Let's do the whole ashes. Let's repent ourselves. For every time that we haven't spoken out, for every time we haven't marched, for every time where we've in some way enabled and emboldened the system that teaches our culture and our society that this is normal. Because it's not just that people outside the church are selfish. It's we ourselves also who are selfish. We are also part of the problem. May God bless our nation to soften its heart and to see the joy and the beauty within these children. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.